You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hello, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction. I'm so glad you're here this week. I love the time I get to spend with you. And woohoo, this week I get to spend more time with you. I normally try to have a guest that I think can bring a lot of information and a lot of value to you guys because I value you guys so much. But today I just want to take this time and talk to you and give you some insights and some downloads that I've got from Source. And like I've said before, I don't really think I channel, although I think we all channel, but I do think that I'm getting quieter and closer to listening, right, to my higher self, to my intuition, to infinite intelligence, to Christ. I think that's something we can all do, we can all cultivate. And when we do, I love it when people share. So thank you for being here today. And I do want to share some ideas that I have. And I want us to mull them around and see if these resonate and ring true with you. So I am doing a new program, writing a new book. I'm being very influenced and excited about a new idea. And I want to share some of that with you today. So we're going to talk about what we volunteered for, right? And how many of you said, I don't think I volunteered. We all volunteered to come down here at this time, and we all volunteered to play the game of life, right? And I don't want to minimize what anybody's going through, but it is a situation, and I looked up the definition of game so we could actually do that. So, you know, the definition of game is that it is a episode of a situation that has rules and has a definite result, right? Well, our lives down here are that. There's a beginning, there is events that happen, there's rules that we're supposed to play by, and then there's a definite result. And the problem is, we haven't been given the right rules, right? We've been told to mind our manners and pay attention and be quiet and listen to what other people say. We have been told that the power lies outside of us, that the creativity is something somebody else has. We have not been taught the real rules on how to play the game. And it's the game, the most important game. And it's the game is, there's a surprise of your life. When you learn to play the game, there is this huge surprise. And the surprise is your life. The amount of power and attention and connection to Source and from Source is life-changing. That is a surprise. But we have been told to play small. We've been told that what we do or say or want to do or say is minuscule compared to what is happening in our environment. And it is the opposite. The power comes to and through us. And I will tell you why I kind of got into this. And it's you guys will think this is funny. So, you know, I have eyeliner, right? I have eyeliner and, you know, you kind of twist it and you get more eyeliner, but it becomes flat on the top, right? Because you're pushing in on your eyelid. And so for weeks, I had this flat eyeliner and I really couldn't do it very well around my eyes. And I go and I get a new package of eyeliner, just same exact eyeliner I've always gotten. And I look down on the package and there's a set of instructions. Now, I don't read instructions. I don't like instructions. I don't like anybody telling me what to do, right? I'm a know-it-all. I never read instructions. And I look down and it goes, there is a pencil sharpener on the end of your eyeliner tube. You have to take off the end and you pull it out, and here's a pencil sharpener. This pencil sharpener will actually sharpen the lead in the eyeliner and make it sharp. So it's so much easier to use. So it will do what it was made to do, right? But I didn't read the directions. I didn't know that I had this amazing tool in my life, right? I was just going along trying to smear this flat eyeliner on my eyelids. I know it's a funny metaphor, but it hit me that we have tools in our lives that we have not been taught to use, and they're magical and they're mystical. They're also biblical and they're based on science. The new science that has come out has validated everything that spirituality has been telling us for thousands of years. But if we don't know we have these tools, if we don't know we have a pencil sharpener that it comes with my little tool that's been there all the time that can sharpen my lead so that it can do what it was supposed to do easily and effortlessly, then we are not using our lives to the greatest advantage that we were made to do. But here's the deal. Here's what I tell my people that coach with me. You don't know what you don't know. So I would like to offer some things to you that maybe you don't know. And maybe that if you did know and you implement them, I will tell you they are life altering. They will transform your life when you realize that you were born with these tools and we have never been taught them, or very rarely, and that we need to know what the rules of the game are. We need to know the instructions. You know, we had these instructions when we came down here. Somehow we've forgotten them, but they are inside of us. And sometimes we just need something to remind us of that. And this week, right, it was my eyeliner. So I want us to assume a couple of things, right? First of all, assume that you did make a decision to come down here. Assume that you're not an accident, that you're not here by accident, that you are here to serve in a capacity that only you can serve in. And it doesn't have to be on the board of directors or a big political thing. It's in your family. It's in your neighborhood. It is, you came here to do something. And until we can discover that, right? Until we can figure out where that pencil sharpener is, we can't do it to the best of our ability. The amazing thing is, when you truly accept the fact that you made a conscious decision in heaven, or whatever we're going to call it, to come down here on this earthly plane in this 3D playground that we're at, and that you came down here to experience life, that divinity runs through you. You came down to experience life and to offer something, to offer a growth or an evolution to what we're doing. It makes a difference on how you look at your life. You know, if you are cooped up in your house, if you don't think that you can go out and do something, you think your opportunities and your options are limited. And I'm here to tell you that the tools that we were born with, that are inherent in our divine nature, they are with us all the time. They're not outside of our house. You know, they're not somewhere that we're going to be unsafe. They are here within us. And what a perfect time to learn the tools that we have to make our lives easier and effortless, and the rules that we need to have to play the game the way that we were meant to play. So let me tell you first about the tools that we have at our disposal. We think we live in a 3D world, which we do live in a 3D world, which means that there is space, there's duality, there's here, there's there, there's time, there's before, there's after, there is depth to our world, right? Because we live in this 3D reality, we have five senses that actually feed back the information that we are seeing in this 3D reality, right? We look out and we see something, we feel it, we hear it. We smell it. We taste it. Those are our five senses. That is how we connect with this 3D reality. We are given those senses so we can survive. We can smell if something's on fire. We can taste if something isn't healthy for us. So our five senses are here for a wonderful reason, to keep us safe in this 3D environment. However, we have been taught that is it. Our five senses pick up this 3D and that's it. And we rely on the five senses to tell us about our environment. And normally what it is it gives us warnings about our environment. Something outside of us is happening, and our five senses are there to protect us. And so it says, oh, that's not supposed to be happening, or that may be something that might hurt you, or there might be stress there, or somebody's making you mad, right? Or you're stuck in traffic. Our five senses are there to protect us. But what it does is it feeds to us information that we internalize, and we think it's a survival mechanism. And we are normally on the survivor mechanism for 95% of our day because it's our subconscious mind. And we are taught that is the only way we can interact with the outside world is with these five senses. But I'm telling you, we have these tools that are within us that when we understand them, and this first blush may be the first time you've heard of them, you may have heard of them. And if there's anything that rings true, I want you to do some more investigation and information gathering. But when you understand these five intellectual faculties that we have and understand that we have access to them at all times, it doesn't matter where we are, it doesn't matter how old we are, it doesn't matter how poor we are. When we understand these and learn to access them, we access God. We access Source. We plug into this power that runs to and through us, and we don't even know we're unplugged, right? I love Abraham Hicks has this metaphor about, you know, you can have a vacuum cleaner and you can do the hardest part of vacuuming and you can make straight lines on your rug and you can go up and down and you can spend hours vacuuming. But if you don't have the cord plugged in, you're not doing what the vacuum was made to do. You're trying hard. It looks to everybody else like you're doing something, you know, you're leaving good lines, but you're not plugged into the power. And when we're not plugged into Source, we're like that vacuum cleaner. We're not doing what we were intended to do. But when we are, what our purpose and our passion comes out, what we came here to do, what our intention comes through so much more easily and effortlessly. And we actually end up performing the way we're supposed to. We're a vacuum cleaner and we're picking up the dirt, right? When we are plugged into our power, God, Christ, infinite intelligent Source, that is when the magic happens. And it's not something only priests can do. It's not something you have to do through a church. It is a personal relationship that you have with Source. And if you can use some of these intellectual faculties, and I call them intellectual faculties because we have to use our brain, which is our God-given amazing tool to access them. We have to know about them and know that we have the ability to access them through our brain because we get to pick them. We have to learn about them. We get to pick them. What happens is it opens these doors so that the spirituality and the power can come through at a much greater rate. So let's talk about what those tools are. So go get something to take notes with because this is something that you're going to be able to use all day, every day. And I call them the whimper factors just because I like acronyms, right? And it took me a long time to remember these six. So I put them in a line and they spell whimper, which is W-I-M-P-I-R, which is not really the way you spell whimper, but in my life, it is right now. And let's go over those because each one of them is something that you may realize what the word means, but you may not realize the power that it has in your life. So the first is W, which is will. That is the will, our ability to focus on something. Our ability to become that magnifying glass that when you have the sun shining on it, it magnifies to a very specific point. So our will allows us to decide what we want to focus on. Normally, we don't use it. Normally, it is like squirrel, right? We're looking over here and there's something moving over here, and we look over here and we're changing channels. And I mean, what, there's 600 channels, and sometimes there's not one thing I want to watch, but I'm just going through channels. Our lives are like that, right? We're jumping from something to something. When we know that we have the ability to use our will and focus our attention on one thing that we decide that we want to do, that focus becomes an energy. It becomes a magnifying glass. It becomes, if source is sun and our focus is the magnifying glass, whatever we're focusing on is going to actually speed up, get hotter, and make a big impression in our lives. So first of all, let's figure out what we want to focus on our lives, right? We want to focus on love. We want to focus on relationships. We want to focus on creativity. We want to focus on our relationship with source. We want to focus on our relationship with our children. We want to focus what is important to you, and spend as many times a day as you can think about it and focus on that. The more you focus on it, the more with your will, the more you're going to get of it. You know, I teach the law of attraction. This is Law of Attraction Radio. I'm the lawyer of attraction. What you put your attention on grows. The law of attraction says whatever you put out, you get back. Whatever you put energy on, that's what you're going to get more of. It is a radio station. It is a vibration and a currency. So when you focus on what it is you want, most of us focus on what we don't want. A lot of us right now are so controlled by fear. Turn off the TV. Get away from that. Get away from the fear. Focus on what you want. I want health. I want travel. I want interaction with people. I want to start a new business. I want to get out and hug people. What do you want? Do not, because if you're focusing on fear, which is what a lot of people want you to, you focus on fear, you're going to get more things to be fearful about. So use my number one part of the acronym, will, to focus on what it is you want. It is probably one of the biggest and less known powers that we have. So figure out what it is you want, focus on it. You will be amazed. So let's try this. Within 7 days, you are going to see so much more of what you focus on. Leave yourself clues all day long. Do post-it notes. I have a now bracelet. Put a bracelet on. You know, put something on your rearview mirror. Put something on the back of your phone. So whenever you see it, it disrupts your subconscious mind, and it's going to remind you to do one of these six intellectual faculties. And will is so important. It helps you focus on what it is you want. So the second one is imagination. Woohoo, I'm going to write a whole book on imagination. I'm reading Neville Goddard's, and it's Immortal Man, and he has so many books out, and he was a mystic in the 40s, 50s, 60s. He would give lectures, and people would actually translate his lectures, and they are in these books. And so he's talking about imagination. Our imagination is God wanting to come out and play. How do you think God made the universe and the stars and the sun and giraffes, right? It was imagination. Everything is created twice in our world, in the world of the universe, in the world of quantum physics. First, it's your imagination. It's your consciousness. And second, it becomes in the actual real world. So our imagination is the most important thing that we possess. You know, Einstein says that imagination is, let me find that because I love this quote, is everything. Einstein says, imagination is everything. It is a preview of life's coming attractions. And once again, we use our imagination to think of what we don't want instead of what we do want. So we're going to focus on what we want, which is our first step. But the second step is using our imagination to become the preview of life's coming attractions. And we use our imagination all the time. We think we're being realistic. We think this bad thing is going to happen. We're on this trajectory toward this bad thing. We don't think it's our imagination. We think it's the truth. You know, we think we're being honest and we think we're being truthful and we think we're being brave. If you are in the now and you are thinking of something down the road that's going to happen that's negative to you, you are using your imagination against you. Law of polarity says there's two sides to every coin. I want you to write down what you don't want to happen in the future. And the law of polarity is automatically going to reflect to you what you do want. And that law of polarity is going to show you what you do want. And I want you to start using your imagination, imagining that amazing new future is coming. Einstein said it. Jesus said it. God uses it constantly. Our imagination is God coming through us, wanting to come out and create with us. Our imagination is only limited by what we think we can do. Our imagination is huge. And let me tell you something. You cannot imagine something that you are not capable of doing. You can't imagine something that you are not capable of doing because it's in your mind. And if you're thinking about it and you're imagining it, it is something that you can create. Imagination is something that you really need to cultivate. There's books out on that, but it is you staying in the present moment, staying focused, daydreaming on what it is you want and doing that as often as you can and internalizing that emotion that you feel when you are daydreaming. My daydream is I'm in my cabin in Colorado by the rushing river and I've got every room planned and I know how I'm decorating it and I know how it smells and I know how it feels. You know, and I, you know, envision myself getting up every morning and getting coffee out there and sitting on the deck. So I've got an imagination of reaching millions of people, being this influencer of helping them reach their imagined goal. And it's not imagined when we learn how to actually get there. So use your imagination. Let it fly. Let it go. Do not talk yourself out if there's no way I can do that. I don't have that much money. I'm giving you license. Here you go. I'm letting you use your imagination. You've got $5 million in the bank account. Now go. What do you imagine? And you'll be amazed how this allows you to imagine more. So our third tool in our little toolkit that we're talking about is memory. Memory is a very powerful tool. There's a couple of ways that we're going to use memory. Memory allows us to think of times that something good happened to us, and we can remember a good feeling that we had at that point in time, and we can stay focused on that memory and that good feeling. We're going to internalize that into our subconscious body, and then we're vibrating at that good memory, and because of the law of attraction and how it works, what we're vibrating out, we're going to get back. It's physics. It's the law. It has to happen. So we can use memory in a couple of different ways. Number one, we can use our memory to remember a time when we were happy, when we were feeling successful, when we were feeling loved, and stay in that memory and internalize that emotion. And that is going to change the vibration your body is in and the action that you're going to take and the vibration that you are attracting back to you. So use your memory to remember good emotions. We're also going to use our memory to remember something that we thought was negative in our lives. We're going to go back to that memory and we are going to realize, and sometimes Steve Jobs says you can't connect the dots going forward. You can only connect the dots going back. So take something that's happening in your life right now that is good. You're married, you've got two kids. Go backwards and realize that something in your past, a memory that you thought was negative, a boyfriend broke up with you, or you went through a bad divorce, or you know, you lost a job and you had to change cities and you thought it was devastating. That particular negative thing had to happen before you could move forward to your present moment of having some blessings. And we can use our memory to go back to that time where we think it was a bad thing that happened and realize it was a wonderful thing that happened and make that memory now into a grateful memory. It is like moving timelines. Use your memory to go back and literally say, that was a wonderful thing that happened because these things happened. I'm so grateful. And at the time it was difficult and it was painful. And believe me, I've been divorced. I did divorces for a living for 40 years. But if you can say that was a good thing because it led me to these things, you start being grateful. You can use your memory to change a past situation into something you can be grateful for. There's a lot of studies that 50% of what we remember didn't happen anyway. We're making it up, right? We're using our imagination. We remember a little bit of it, and then we extrapolate and we make things up that happened around it. So just know that we can use our memory to go back and be grateful for things. And then the other way to use a memory that I love, 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 that I don't think a lot of us know. And remember, if we don't know, we don't know. We don't know how to use it. Is we're going to start creating future memories. What? Yes, we are. We're going to use, because when we use our imagination and we start daydreaming about things that are going to happen in the future that are exciting, our subconscious mind is miraculous. It can only accept what we put into it. If we are saying in a year from now, we are living on this house in the mountains, and we are thinking it and internalizing it, in our mind, it is a memory. We have been doing it. It is a memory. It is a future memory. And because it is a memory with an emotion, we are creating a future memory. We are creating it because our subconscious mind, because of the reticular activating system, starts looking for things that go along with that same set of facts. We can create future memories because we're going to be using our imagination. So memories is a huge tool that we don't even know we have. Fourth one is perception, right? Perception. Perception means how you look at something. And we are taught to look at things a certain way. If we're born in a certain city, in a certain part of the country, with a certain amount of coloring in our skin, if we're male or female, if we're rich or poor, we have been conditioned to look at things from a certain perspective. That doesn't mean they're real. That doesn't mean they're truth. That means what we have been conditioned to look at that perspective. If we can figure out a way to give ourselves some space, to get back farther, to look at things a different way, reading from a different perspective, being with other people that have different perspectives, right? Looking at things from a higher perspective. How would God look at this? He wouldn't hate my neighbor, right? How would God look at this? Perspective is huge. A new perception of what's going on. One of the things Bob Proctor always did is he held up a book and on the front it said Think and Grow Rich and on the back it said nothing. And he held it up and he said, on the cover of this book, there's nothing. And the other side would say, no, you're wrong. There's something on the cover of the book. He goes, on the cover of the book, there's nothing. On the cover of the book that he's looking at, there was nothing. On the side of the book that somebody else was looking at, there was writing. They were both right. Right now, and what is going on in this world, we need a different perspective. There's not right. There's not wrong. There's not them. There's not us. There's not division. There's God and his energy and his love and his vibration. And it runs through all of us. We're all plugged into the same electric outlet. We all are connected at a much higher self. It's a different perspective. Don't let people divide us. Don't let people make up things that make you look at certain things in a bad way. If you have a bigger perspective, you know that there's no division here. That we all are part of this big picture. And the way we are going to solve this is we solve it together from a different perspective. So our fifth one is another I, which is intuition. And that is this connection to source. And that is what I think I'm kind of literally starting to pry open. And I think I've had intuition for a long time. And I think a lot of us do. We all do. We all have a huge amount of intuition. We are all connected. We don't trust it. We don't pay attention to it. And sooner or later, it just quits showing up, right? If you don't pay attention to a cat, it's going to go away. I don't know. Maybe cats could care less if you pay attention to them. But whatever you put your attention to on grows. And our intuition is that still small voice that says immediately when something happens, yes or no. It says, yes, go for it. No, don't go down that street. Our intuition is the immediate response that we get and we don't pay attention to it. And it is God talking to us. It is our higher self talking to us. God is inside of us. Our higher self is inside of us. There's nothing outside of us that we have to find. There's no information outside of us that we have to find. There's no treasure hunt that we have to go on and we're going to find a treasure on X marks the spot outside of us. The treasure is inside of us. The surprise of your life is that everything is inside of us. All the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the answers, all the love, all the connection, it is inside of us. That is the way to source. It's through the vibration that we decide to be in. And we have not been taught this. The powers that be do everything possible to keep us in fear, to keep us afraid of our neighbors, to keep us in a situation where we think that we're not being safe. That is the furthest from the truth. When you understand where your power comes from, when you understand where your safety comes from, it comes from source. It comes directly to you. It's a vibration that when you learn to get into that vibrational frequency, you are connected to the Holy Spirit, to the divine matrix, to the zero point field. I'm using spirituality, I'm using the Bible, and I'm using science all to talk about the same thing. So let's talk about that real quick. You know, there are different frequencies that every emotion that we have actually vibrates on. And you know that and you feel that. Maybe nobody's ever told you to break it down. But anger and depression is a low frequency. Your body feels heavy. The motion of your body is slower. You recognize anger. You recognize sadness. It is the way your body feels. You think it's in your head. The thought in your head creates a vibration, creates a frequency. It's energy in motion. It's an emotion. And your body is in that vibration. And you recognize that vibration and you give it a name of a feeling. Anger and sadness are low vibrations. The only thing you can get is more of that. It's like turning on a radio station. You get up higher, right? So frustration is higher than anger because at least you're trying to get out of it. Hope is higher than frustration, you know, and then you have excitement. Let me tell you that love and gratitude are the highest frequencies that our bodies can be in. And they're light and they go fast and we feel light and they are a high frequency. You know, when God says, give thanks, he's saying, be in a thankful mood, because when you are thankful, you are in a vibration that attaches to him. He's not asking for your praise for him. He's telling you how to get in a vibration that allows you to connect with him. Love. Remember, Jesus says, and I leave you with this, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. I think there's five loves, right? Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. Got that down? Where that vibration, that frequency, no judgment, no fear, no trepidation. Loving is a vibration. And when we get into that frequency, we are now can attach to source. Whether you do it for 10 seconds or 30 seconds, whether if you can learn to do it for longer, you will learn to recognize that feeling. And when I say it's a feeling of coming home, I mean it. It's a feeling of homecoming. It's a big, deep breath in and out, and there's a quietness. One of the reasons I teach my people is to meditate is because that is when we can quiet our monkey mind. We can choose to have another thought and to be in another vibration. We can choose to get out of that perception and negative fear that we find ourselves in. Remember, we're on autopilot 95% of our day. The more times that we can stop and meditate for 30 seconds, for 2 minutes, for 15 minutes, and meditate is defined as a breath in, a breath out, keeping your attention on your breath, and trying to quiet your mind. I just read another book. When you take a deep breath, pretend like your heart is a third lung. So when you're breathing in, put your attention on your heart. Remember what we talked about? Focus, right? Focus on your heart when you're breathing in, when you're breathing out. We can't think of a lot of things at the same time. If you can think of your breath and your heart when you're breathing, do it once, do it twice, do it for 5 minutes. That is how we're going to get attached to source. And when you're attached to source and you're quiet, that is when your intuition starts talking to you. And it's not a booming voice. At least that's not what I have experienced. It is inspiration. It is, have you thought about this? It is one word that I hadn't thought about. It is a direction that I was not going to go, but I decided to go that way, and it made all the difference. It was a decision to walk into a building at a time and a building I'd never been at, and running into somebody that changed my life. It's experiencing an opportunity to listen to something bigger than your monkey mind and to take action. So the difference between intuition and fear is, intuition is something that you feel immediately. It's an answer to a question. It flies into your brain. And if you take that small step, you're going to feel good. It is a download from infinite intelligence that let's go this way. Let's do this. Let's say that. Let's go after our dreams a little bit, right? Let's take this kind of a risk. What happens is we get that download, we get that inspiration, and we let logic and the facts of what's going on in our life right now dictate that. We are in a situation where we feel something, it's different, and we go, oh no, I can't do that. My logic says I've never gone that way before. I've never taken that risk before. Logic and facts in our 3D environment, when we rely on those, we only get more of the same reality. We only get more of the same thing we had yesterday because we're using a set of facts, our five senses, what's in our reality right now to make a decision to go farther. And we will only get the same thing. It's a Groundhog Day kind of a thing. When we decide to rely on intuition, and you are going to know it, and intuition is not going to tell you to jump off a cliff. It's going to tell you to take a baby step. It's going to give you an inspiration to start researching this area. It is an inspiration, and it is a connection to your higher self. It's never going to lead you astray. And you just take it one step at a time. You know, I have a sign on my wall that says, what if I fall? And the next line is, oh, but darling, what if you fly? You can take a step and then another step. Take baby steps and pay attention to your intuition and see what the next step is. There's so many books out there and I love them all, but one of them says you're not going to be given the whole map initially. You will take a step and you will be given what you need when you get to the point that you need it. you know, the hero's journey, Joseph Campbell's monomyth, all of the heroes and all of the stories and all of the movies, they all follow the same plot. And they go farther than they've ever gone. They're going on a quest. They have no idea how they're going to accomplish it. You know, they take backpacks. They're not taking swords. I mean, Harry Potter had a wand. The Hobbit people, what, they had a ring. You know, Dorothy had a dog. They take small things. They're not armored up. They don't take lawyers with them, right? They're going out farther of their lives and their complacency and their normalcy, and they're taking chances to take steps into a new life. And they don't take a lot with them. But when they get there, what they need is given to them, right? Everything Dorothy needed in the Wizard of Oz, she went a little farther and she got it. Everything that Harry Potter needed, he goes a little farther and he gets it. It's amazing how all of the movie plots are based on the hero's journey by Joseph Campbell. And if you don't know that, it's a great thing to do some more research on. Finding Joe, which is a great movie. I know it's on Gaia. You can order it, I think, on Amazon, but it's an overview of the Joseph Campbell monomyth. They're using their intuition to take a step, trusting that God, universe, Jesus is going to be there and give you what you need for the next step. Anything that's happened in my life, everything that's happened in my life has been such a surprise, which is why I think the surprise of your life is you don't know how to do it, right? You're not in control. You figure out where, what the big picture is. You focus on that, right? You use your imagination to get there. You use your memory to make it a wonderful one. You use your perception to get back and to not say, I have to do this the same way I've always done it. I'm going to give myself some space. And then we're going to rely on intuition to get us to that next step. Our last big part of whimper is reason. And that is our ability to take something and to look at it and to use our amazing conscious mind, our intelligence, to reason things out. If you see something happening outside of you that doesn't feel right, use your reason to think, that's not right. If you hear something on the news that you're going, that's not ringing true, use your reason to figure out what really happened. Use your reason for you to decide what the next step is, how you're going to react to that, right? You know, I'm a daughter of the Most High God. There's a way I can reason how to take the next step, how I can use the power because I am plugged into the outlet and I am a good vacuum cleaner, right? What can I do? I'm going to use my reason and I'm going to trust that my intelligence, when I am connected to source, is going to give me the next step and the next step. So those are the tools in your tool chest that you don't even know you have. We haven't even been taught those. You may have heard words. You may have known a few things about them. But when you put all of those powers together, which are internal powers, they're intellectual powers, they're powers that we can choose to find and use with our conscious mind. The more we do that, the more we internalize it, the more we change our subconscious mind. And the more that subconscious mind becomes in control. You know, one of the words I used to hate was the word surrender. Because as a divorce attorney, I would win. And surrender to me meant lose, to give up, right? Surrender would be the white flag and the other side is going to win. It was a competition. There were two sides. And by golly, I wasn't going to be the one that lost, and I was not going to surrender, and I didn't take prisoners. So surrender, right? I fought surrender. I wanted to control the outside. Even when I got into looking for more spiritual answers, looking for my connection to source, knowing there was a huge hole in my experience and my heart and my soul because I didn't know these answers, I still thought I, my ego, my source was in control. And I wanted to rearrange everything in my environment, and I wanted to control everything. And if you were in my environment at that point in time, I was pretty bossy because I thought if I could control you, I could make me happy. And I got to the point, and maybe you guys are at this point, that you feel so heavy, that there's so much weight on your shoulders, that you can't do it anymore, that we cannot figure out how we're getting through this, that you can't figure out one more day of how you're moving around the chairs on the deck of the Titanic because you're going down. You're not going down. This is the time. You know, sometimes I think God gives us enough where we go, okay, I'm done. Right? Jesus said, let me take your yoke. Right? And you know, because it's easy. Put it on surrender. Surrender the actions that you are trying to take to your higher self. I had such a hard time with surrendering it to something outside of myself, because for the longest time, I thought God was outside of myself. It was some entity that I prayed to that was in this church that I went to, right? I got to tell you the story. So when my son was probably about five, we're sitting there and we're at church, and you know, it's a big church, and the minister's behind this very high, you know, desk up there, altar, whatever they call it, podium. So he's really high up and he's got a booming voice and he's talking. And so then we're starting to pray to God. And, you know, Connor said to me, well, you know, God's right up there. Why do we have to pray to him? Why don't we just go talk to him? I mean, he literally thought the minister was God, you know, little guy, we're talking about it. He's, you know, the minister has a booming voice. We're in church. I had such a hard time with the word surrender when I thought it was something outside of myself. But when you understand it is actually your higher self that is attached to source, to the creator of the universe, you've always been part of that. You've always been loved. He's never going to lead you astray. He, she, they, Christ. But you've got to quit playing in the play sand and trying to make sandcastles and ignoring the bigger house that's out there that God can build for you. So think about that. Think about the word surrendering, taking a big deep breath and just saying, okay, God, I don't know how to do it. You show me how. And when you use these six faculties of focusing on what it is you want and literally getting into that intuition and paying attention, right? And surrendering. There's so many stories about when I did that, amazing, miraculous things happened. And I look back now and I still try to control everything, but I get, and I do, I think God put so much on us that he says, okay, are you done yet? Are you done trying to do it yourself? Because, you know, we came in here as a partnership. So take a big, deep breath and give it back to God and surrender to God. So those are the six intellectual faculties. I want to get into the rules of the game. And the rules of the game are something that we also have never been taught. And the number one rule is you got to make a decision that you're really going to play. That means you're going to start learning these things. You're going to understand that you're a creative being. You're going to understand that you came here to do something. And when you are connected to source, the power you have is greater than millions of people. When you're connected to gratitude and source, you know, when somebody says you and what army, it's you're connected to source. You got the big army with you. So the first decision that you have to make down here is you've got to decide you're going to play the game the right way. And that is understanding your divinity, understanding that there are rules that it's not like you're going to get in trouble if you don't follow the rules. There's natural laws of the universe that when you understand them and how they work and you implement them, that is when we're actually powering up, right? That is when we're plugging in to the wall socket. So first you have to decide you're going to play the game. You have to become aware that you're in a situation that you have a lot more options than you think, There's a lot more natural laws of the universe out there that you have never been told. They don't want you to know your power. Because if you know how powerful you are, you will not rely on them. You know, you will not have to rely on anybody outside of you when you understand your power. So sit with this, mull this over, see if this feels right, but make a decision that you are going to play the game. You're going to learn these rules. You're going to show up and you're going to understand that and become aware that you are here to play this game and you are here to serve this purpose and you are here to play big, because when you play big, the effect that you have on your family, your friends, your community is amazing. It is life-changing. You know, the second rule that I want you guys to know about, you know, you got to pick the right team. And that means you got to make a decision on who you're going to run around with. You know, Jim Rohn, who was a huge personal development person back in the time, he's gone now. He said, you are the average of the five people that you run around with. And if you're running around with people that are wallowing in this and think they're entitled and it's somebody else's fault and, you know, we're mad at everybody else out there, you're the average of the five people that you run around with. But that's okay, because now you're aware of it. So find other friends. Books are amazing friends. Start reading books about people that led these inspired lives. There are so many podcasts. There are so many uplifting things. Those are people that you can run around with. Those are people that you can pay attention to. You know, get in a mastermind group. Go find a church that you can go to. Find a club that you can go to. You know, find people that are interested in what you're interested in. Pick the right team. It is very difficult to win when you're being drugged down by the wrong team. You know, third, make sure that you are grateful that you get to play the game at all. So being aware that there's a game to play and that there are rules, I hate the word rules, but there's laws of the universe that we have to understand. Being with the people that will help us more than anything. You know, Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, the energy, the synergy that you have when you're with somebody else going through this is huge. So find somebody you can reach out to that you can is positive and helpful. But also be thankful that you even get to play the game. Remember, we talked about the highest vibration that you're in is gratitude and love. When you're thankful all day, every day that you get to play the game, it's a vibration and you get more things to be thankful for. You know, the next one is stay in your own lane. And what does that mean? It means stay focused on what it is you want to do and don't worry about what anybody else wants to do. So don't worry about what anybody else is doing. It's none of your business. It's not in your lane. And don't worry about what anybody else is saying about you, because it's not your business and you're not staying in your own lane. Your own lane is, why did I come here? What is it that I want to do? What makes my heart sing? What brings me joy? What do I want to spend my time on? Your lane is your life. So find out what brings you joy. Stay in that lane. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying about you. You know, you can't stop them from doing that. And the other thing that stay in your own lane means is stay in the now. Because the past is not in our own lane. The future is not in our own lane. We spend all of our time worrying about the past and worrying about the future. Stay in the now. That's where the magic happens. That's where you can be connected to source. That's where you can be get connected to inspiration and intuition. So being in the now is in your own lane. And as we talked about, that imagination is so important. Imagination is your get out of jail free card. If you're in jail, if you're somewhere where you don't want to be, imagination, focus on what it is that you want to be, who you want to be, where you want to be. Focus on that and feel the feeling you're going to feel when you get there, the joy, the peace, the excitement, the love. That imagination will get you out of anything you're in right now. So your imagination is get out of jail free card. I got other rules, but I'm running out of time. So I'm going to pick up on that. I want to tell you that I've got an article in the May magazine of the Law of Attraction Radio Network. You can download the app. It's free. It's digital. Jules Johnson, bless her heart. She has these amazing magazines. If you don't know about it, find out about it. It is on the Law of Attraction Radio magazine. It's an app. Joe Vitale is going to be on it this next May, this in a couple of weeks. He's wonderful. There's a whole bunch of articles about him. And my article about the game of life and the rules to rock it are going to be in there. So please get that magazine and look at the whole magazine and find me in there, because there'll be some more information other than this than we talked about. And it is an amazing magazine. It'll give you so many good ideas and tips and inspiration for you to take your life to the next level. There's a lot of things out there. There's YouTube videos, all of my podcasts. There's podcasts from all the other hosts on the Law of Attraction Radio Network that are so inspiring. So know that there's resources out there. There's tools out there that will help you. You are not by yourself. We are all connected by love. And I would love to have you reach out to me, Paula at paulakidcasey.com. I'm getting ready to launch a new book. I'm getting ready to launch a new program. I've got a new mastermind going on, transformational. It will not hurt you at all to reach out and talk to us about it to see if you're a fit and if we're a fit for you. This is the time of our lives because it's a surprise of our lives on how much joy we can have. It's the time in humanity that we need to understand how important our vibration, our frequency, our expectations, and our actions are. And they're inside of us. We don't have to ask anybody's permission. We have to understand the way the universe works. And that's what I'm here to help you with. So please get all of my resources. I have a book on Amazon, The Law You're in the Law of Attraction, all my podcasts. And I am here if you want to reach out. So thank you for being here this week. I love the fact that we get to talk. I love the fact that we get to spend time together. I love having guests, but I also love it when it's just you and I. So thanks for being here and thanks for listening. I hope you took something away. I hope some of this helped. I know it would help. I know it will help because it is straight from source to you. So as Ram Dass always says, we are just walking each other home. And I'm so humbled and honored and happy that I get to share this journey with you. So until next week, and I have a fun guest next week, Pam Grout, the New York Times number one bestselling author, a friend of mine, and she has written some amazing books. So be here next week. Until next week, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and I am the Law of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.